Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Crazy as a Loon by Haley Edwards. Narrated by Stephanie Richardson. Chapter 1. If I had a dime for every time a pisky infestation ruined my Sunday afternoon plans with a blender and a margarita mix, I wouldn't have to clip coupons from the weekly sales flyer. Come spring, the weather got warm enough to thaw their wings and they descended like locusts on gardens within a 3-mile radius of their underground hive. Worse, they were ovoviviparous, and females birthed fully self-reliant piscates every single place they fed during that first week. The only thing harder to kill than piskies were roaches. And that made me a glorified exterminator. Welcome to retirement, old girl. For 80 years, I hunted the most dangerous paranormal creatures to prowl the night as a witch light hub, but there was a reason why other agencies called us witch light. Without each other, we were about as useless as tits on a bull. Ellie, why do we bother? I kicked a fallen tomato cage. The little pests always come back twice as hungry. Piskies were barely the height of a pinky finger and resembled Tinkerbell, except for the needle-like teeth, red eyes, razor-sharp claws, and, well, I guess they didn't much resemble Tinkerbell after all. Give me a kraken to wrestle, a griffin to ride, a manticore to defang, not this penny-ante pest control. L.A. Shelving memories of our glory days, I turned to find Ida on her knees beside a raised bed. What? Look. Her orange-cream shirtwaist dress pooled around her. Oh, Ellie, just look. I know that tone. Flo, whose expression had frozen in place decades ago, sashayed over to us. Babies. Her disgust mirrored mine whenever I imagined her welcoming botulism injections to banish wrinkles. Already? Betty, still recovering from hip replacement surgery after a Bogart tripped her on the stairs at the library, picked her way across the uneven terrain with her walker. Feed them to that stray Pastor Joe adopted. First swarm of the summer, and they had to go and target the Samford Baptist Church's small garden. Is your memory that bad? I scowled at the 6 piscuits dozing under a lettuce leaf. The fundraiser? Oh! Betty stepped over a shattered watermelon rind longer than my arm. Yeah. I don't remember a fundraiser. Ida sank back on her heels. Did it happen during my cruise? Every year, Ida and her husband Eli cruised to the Bahamas for their anniversary. Most of us were widows now, so we didn't begrudge her the romantic getaway. The stray ate a litter of piscuits. I rubbed my thumb alongside my nose. They didn't agree with her. The pastor decided she got in a fight with the Tom, and we encouraged his notion. Flo righted her pillbox hat. I don't know what possessed that cat. Pisky teeth are sharper than Betty's tongue, the poor thing. She adjusted the wisp of netting against her silver curls. She required emergency surgery, which Colin paid for, but the congregation hosted a bake sale to pay us back. Colin Rourke preferred golf to Jesus, and more conservative parishioners took offense to his priorities. But mostly, they resented Flo for taking the most eligible bachelor in Samford off the market. Any chance to snub her, they took with glee. Not very Christian behavior, but Flo didn't care. Flo didn't believe in getting mad. She believed in getting even, and she looked fabulous doing it. We need to hurry this along. I checked the clunky gold watch my husband wore for 40 years before I picked up the habit to feel closer to him. Service begins in 30 minutes.
I would do the honors.
Flo extended her leg to flash her white pumps.
But they're new.
More meow meows?
Betty reached us with a grunt of effort.
How many pairs of shoes do you need?
The designer is Mew Mew.
Flo's lips crimped in a hard line.
Though I would hardly expect someone who still hunts Pokemon to appreciate art.
She curled her lip at Betty's black orthotic sneakers.
Or style.
I have grandkids.
Betty twisted and sat on her walker's built-in seat.
Of course I catch Pokemon.
That app reminds me of our rookie year in Witchlight. I cracked a smile. Those were the days. Our handler, Walter Gleason, dumped us into a pond with a Kelpie stallion on our first day. The thing almost drowned Joan, broke two of Ida's ribs, and dislocated Betty's shoulder. Flo froze, and it was her or me. I threw myself in front of the charging beast, stuck to its gummy fur, and it hauled me under. We passed the test on a technicality. I did catch it, as per our assignment, but it caught me right back. Had Wally been a hair slower, it would have drowned me and then eaten me.
He's coming.
The four of us angled toward the flagstone path as Joan burst through the garden gate in a leather.
Pastor Joe.
Her quilted purse thumped hard against her back.
He just left the pastorium.
The small house provided for the pastor sat maybe a quarter acre from the church. We didn't have much time to handle this before he got here and started asking questions. Good thing I favored orthotics with a nice chunky sole, too. A loud squelching noise caused the rest of my coven to whip their heads toward me.
Problem solved.
I wiped biscuit goop off on the trampled grass. Who brought the lie? One look at my face and Betty burst out laughing. Even Flo allowed herself a modest chuckle. Lord knows we were a violent bunch. Practically a death squad in our heyday.
Me?
Joan dug into her oversized bag.
It's in here somewhere.
Alkaline hydrolysis was our preferred method of body disposal, but it wasn't easily achieved in the field. That was why we mixed up magically regulated batches to supply the heat and pressure for the reaction.
Found it.
She tossed me a prescription bottle.
That's the last of it.
One good thing about getting old was all the free prescription pill bottles we recycled for spell storage. Sure, the containers were plastic and not glass, and those child-proof lids gave Betty fits. But free was free. Plus, no one looked twice at a granny with a few bottles rattling around in the bottom of her purse. They were the perfect camouflage.
You know what that means.
Betty danced in her seat.
Margarita night at Ellie's.
Footsteps rang out on the flagstone path, and I dumped the chalk-like powder over the biscuit remains. The five of us joined hands. Power trickled into me from them, and I murmured words to ignite the spell. In these rare moments, as borrowed magic swam in my veins, I felt young again. But all too soon, the remains reduced to goo, then to liquid, and seeped into the earth to fertilize the next food crop.
Well, well, well.
Pastor Joe entered the garden dressed in a black suit with his hair parted just so.
If it isn't five of my favorite parishioners.
Joe Deckel was new to Samford, in his mid-60s, and in possession of a full head of silver hair. Both the wedding band he still wore and the Bible he always carried worked like catnip on single ladies. They screamed, "I am not afraid of commitment," in a subtle way women our age appreciated in eligible men.
Ellie, you're looking lovely this fine morning. Part of my uniform as village kook entailed wearing a house coat and slippers around town. I used to be a lot sadder about that, but then I took to carrying Bam Bam everywhere I went as an accessory. When no one batted an eye, so long as I took pains to match my shotgun to my outfit, I decided I could live with it. Better to be armed to the teeth than dressed to the nines, in my opinion. I showered. A snort blasted out of Betty's nose. Jesus, Ellie! The girls sucked in a collective gasp, but Pastor Joe just laughed under his breath. Jesus saves! Betty folded her hands in her lap. That's what I meant to say. I'm sure you... His gaze slid past her to the garden. What on God's green earth? Slugs, rabbits, deer, possums,
tarantulas.
That last one was Joan, so nobody blinked about her assertion there were vegetarian tarantulas with a hankering for fresh summer fruits. All at once. He tried to make it a joke, but it fell flat. The farmer's market is in 3 weeks. The farmer's market was seasonal at the church, and we did our part to ensure a bountiful harvest. Proceeds got invested into community programs overseen by the church, which was as good a reason as any to pitch in. Leftovers were taken home by the congregation and used in meals that would then be delivered to the elderly and less fortunate. Those were also fine and noble things, but we weren't either. We founded a garden club, not only to get ahead of piskies, but to mix our special fertilizer into the soil. The resulting fruits and vegetables didn't hurt anyone, but they might leave folks open to a suggestion. That's not a rock troll, it's a Heidekey. That's not a brownie, it's a dirty mop. That's not a sprite, it's a lost doll. Knowing the sanctimonious pearl clutchers who gave Flo such a hard time ate produce from mass pisky gravesites, it made my old and bitter heart rejoice. Just not enough to irritate my pacemaker.
Colin would be happy to donate enough plants to replace the ones we've lost.
Flo anchored her hands on her slim hips, ready to take charge.
I'll make a list after service and have them delivered tomorrow.
Thank you for your kindness and generosity. Pastor Joe raked his fingers through his hair. I regret this means we'll have to cancel the farmer's market this year. Perhaps I can get my brothers to come down. His shoulders fell over the devastation. We'll need better fences to prevent this from happening again. Fences wouldn't deter these flighty pests, but I couldn't very well tell him that. Guilt gnawed on me that I had failed in my duty, however insignificant it felt these days. Maybe that was the real problem. So little was expected of me. I struggled to hold myself up to my old standards. I didn't put much effort into meeting an already low bar, and that wasn't me. The real me. The old me. Before I got, well, old.
Maybe host an auction to sponsor individual plants or entire beds. Winners get their names engraved on a plaque on a stick. That way we replace what's lost and the church earns some money for the fund.
I ignored the eye daggers Flo hurled at me for usurping her, but I fully intended to pass her the scepter.
I'm sure Flo would love to head up the committee.
A handful of women would mortgage their houses to beat her out of pure spite, which she well knew. She lived for excuses to goad them into competitions they couldn't hope to win and couldn't fuss openly about without showing an uncharitable spirit, since all proceeds went to the church and the community.
That's brilliant.
Pastor Joe embraced me. His scent warm and woodsy.
We're so lucky to have you.
Awkwardly, I patted his back. Yeah. Behind him,
Betty rubbed her hands up her arms and made kissy faces. I don't know why she was my best friend. I should have let that Kelpie finish the job the day we met.
I'm happy to spearhead a committee,
Flo inserted herself.
I'll spread the word after service.
Pastor Joe smiled at her, deep wrinkles creasing the corners of his eyes. Thank you, Flo. Preening under his attention, she smoothed her hands over her hips.
You're very welcome.
Ladies. He held out his arm in a sweeping gesture. Let's go on in. Joan, who stood clutching her purse strap, smiled stiffer than some corpses I had seen. Ida rose with the kind of grace you're either born with or you're not, and dusted off her skirts. Betty, draped in a flowing house dress that was more my usual style, grunted and pivoted in her walker. Once assured his flock was ready to be shepherded, Pastor Joe led us down the path toward the church.
He's tougher to fool than poor old Father Orr was,
Betty murmured, bringing up the rear with me beside her.
He's prettier, though.
Father Orr suffered from dementia and moved to Wyoming to be near his children. That was the official line. The truth was, he quit eating Samford-grown veggies after his wife died and he had no one to cook for him. Without that dietary staple, he began remembering the strange happenings in our small southern town since the coven relocated here 50 or so years ago. We dosed him with a mild hallucinogen, drove him to the airport, and passed him into his son's care. 72 hours later, he was back to normal, but his kids didn't believe a word out of his mouth. For a while, he sent postcards to his former parishioners warning them of evil spirits in our fair town. Luckily, they didn't believe a word out of his pen, and life went back to as normal as it ever got for us.
He is rather handsome,
Flo agreed, a glint in her eye.
A widower, too.
Oh, Lord!
Betty clutched her chest.
Did y'all hear that?
Heart-tripping, I scanned the area for threats.
What? A cougar yowling!
She dissolved into laughter.
Rawr!
She lost her breath.
Flo is on the prowl.
Better a cougar than a spinster.
Just because I never married doesn't mean I'm a spinster.
That's exactly what spinster means.
I aged out of that bracket at 26.
Betty shook out her sleek gray bob.
I'm a thornback, baby.
A humpback, more like,
Flo muttered under her breath.
You've always had horrendous posture. Do you still qualify if you have children?
Joan pondered.
You have so many.
Only 6.
Betty lost her footing, leaning hard on the walker as I steadied them both.
It's grandkids that get you. I have 15 of those and counting.
She huffed her thanks and kept going.
Men never did appeal to me. Women either. But kids, they're the most fun you can have. And if you adopt paranormal kids, you never know what you're going to get. It's fantastic. Like Christmas. One day they're this chubby toddler, the next they've shifted into this whole new form that neither of you knows how to control.
As an adoptee herself, taken in by a warg couple when she was 1 month old, Betty was a pack animal at heart and the foremost expert in mixed-species home placement for paranormal children.
Oh, let Betty have her fun.
Ever the peacekeeper, Ida waded in.
She can be a thornback if she wants.
Thornback has a nicer ring than widow.
Joan tugged on her purse.
Widow is such a lonely word.
The man Joan married in her 50s was more of a mad scientist than the professor he led her to believe.
brilliant mind, but dull as dishwater. Sadly, he blew himself up on their 10th wedding anniversary. The explosion destroyed her greenhouse and cost her a decade's worth of horticultural research. To my knowledge, she had never cried before or since. She really did love those plants. Thornback is fiercer, Ida agreed, happy to guide the conversation. What do you say, Ellie? Thumb rolling over my dented, scratched, and slightly melted wedding band. I like Thornback. The word implied you had reached a pinnacle where you were strong enough to face down anything, and tough enough anyone whispering about you behind your back could go impale themselves. Based on her pinched expression, Betty must have heard the edge in my tone. I was teasing earlier about Pastor Joe. Her voice leveled off once we hit the sidewalk. Your situation, your marriage is complicated. She paused to catch her breath. I just hate to see you waste your life. Each time one of your kids grew up and left home, did you rush out and adopt a replacement? You can't just replace, exactly. Especially since my husband might be dead, but he was still waiting on me to get home. Chapter 2. The wards on my land weren't as fancy as the ones at Witchlight HQ, but I could whistle a tune and hear throaty bullfrog croaks from the stones I buried when the coven first arrived in Samford that told me the perimeter was secure. Oh well, better luck tomorrow. Come on, Bam Bam. I slid my shotgun into its holster down my back. It's almost MMA o'clock. Cook duty required me to appear more harmless little old lady and less former infamous monster slayer, so I always walk the property line in my housecoat before bedtime. Some nights, just to spice things up, I shot empty cans off fence posts. Toward oncoming traffic. I fired homemade rock salt shells, but my neighbors didn't need to know that. I also made sure the locals saw me talking to myself. Or my gun. I wasn't sure which was worse, so I did a little of both. As much fun as it was, for me, I did it for their own good. The less they knew about the supernatural world around them, the better off they would be. Besides, Betty's screaming insanity plea at officers who came to investigate my antics usually prevented me from getting arrested. Again, a prickle of guilt stung my spine as I passed the old Madison place on the final leg of my evening constitutional. The Madisons had been my closest neighbors, but the Mrs. passed 5 years ago and the Mr. not long after her. Their house was a cute little thing with a nice creek in the back. With love and 20 or 30 grand, it could be a home again. For another practitioner if we got lucky. The girls disagreed with me, but I felt we needed new blood in town. A strong white witch would be a welcome addition to the area if we could find a suitable one. But we could hash that out if we ever lured in any takers. As I did every month, I imbued fresh crystals with full moon's light and my intent, then buried them near the house. They acted as a beacon to weary souls, and one day would attract a new owner. That was the hope, anyway. This far out, pickings were slim. Still, I would hate to watch the old house rot as the years passed. There was something poignant about the slow deterioration of beauty, but I saw enough of that in the mirror each morning to last me. No reason for a perfectly good house to fall in on itself. My face, a crinkled napkin of a thing, was doing enough of that for both of us. With that done, I headed home with plans to watch MMA until I passed out in my recliner with a pizza roll hangover. Once on my porch, I towed off my muddy boots and let myself in the front door I never bothered to lock. Sadly, no homicidal maniacs had yet to take me up on the open invitation. Though I suppose hunting them was more fun than walking in on them. Enjoy your stroll.
The rich, husky voice rolled over me, and I closed my eyes, happy to pretend a few minutes longer.
It rained all last week.
A smile tugged at my lips.
It's a bog out there.
Enjoy your slog, then.
I always do.
That much was the truth. The medicine place is still empty.
You're seeding it, aren't you?
Maybe. I loved how well he knew me. There's something about it that feels important.
Trust your gut.
Sir, yes, sir.
None of that, cadet. We're far past basic training, don't you think?
The longer I stayed in the entryway, the longer I got to imagine Wally really was right around the corner chatting with me. That he would walk out, wrap me in his arms, and kiss me silly.
Well, I placed my shotgun on the table and shrugged out of my house coat, leaving me in faded leggings and an equally worn tee.
You did put a ring on it, as they say.
I did, and I would do it all over again. After drifting in thoughts of yesteryear all morning, I was still deep in recollections of our younger days.
Bet you didn't think that the first time we met.
You were a smart-mouthed, short-tempered powerhouse who didn't listen to a word of caution. And he was a god-made flesh to my eyes, powerful, ruthless, and handsome as sin.
Flatterer!
I drew up my courage and entered the living room.
How was your day?
Same as the day before and the day before that. He teased, but I heard the underlying weariness. Mounted on the wall above the couch was a fish. A bass. Vibrant latex skin stretched over a mechanical skeleton, really. Its age-worn base was plastic wood grain. A gold-toned plaque proclaimed he was Bobby the Big Mouth Bass. Press the button or trigger the motion sensor, and he burst into song. When I entered the room, smile pasted on. The base was flexed, so he was staring at me straight on. With one side wired into the plaque, he only had so much mobility, but we made do with his limitations. More and more, I worried I was the one making do while he was enduring my inability to let him go.
Don't look so sad, Gumdrop.
His voice went soft.
You know it breaks my heart to break yours.
I'm not sad. I cast back for something, anything to distract him.
We killed our first summer piskies.
You could tell them from the spring hatchlings by their duller colors and preference for melons. Willing to let me get away with misdirection, he engaged with enthusiasm.
Already?
This was the equivalent of talking about the weather with a stranger just to have something to say, and I hated it. Hated. But my Wally's soul was cursed into a damned novelty toy, and the cure was as impossible as it was cruel. We noticed them before service. Hard to miss the mess they made. At church.
That the new pastor drops by with some truly inventive excuses.
Not you, too.
I yanked Wally off the wall, and the Velcro strips affixed to the back of the plaque ripped loudly away from the one stuck to the sheetrock.
Betty was teasing me about him earlier.
Sinking into my recliner, I rested the plaque against my stomach to prop him up during the match.
You could go out with him.
I would rather stay in with you.
I'm not a man anymore, Gumdrop. I'm not anything.
You're here, and that's enough for me.
I won't fight with you when you look so tired.
Good.
I stroked a finger down his rubbery spine.
I would hate to earn a pity win.
Settled in to watch MMA, we fell into a companionable silence, brought on by the mutual appreciation of a good fight that required no commentary when the announcer was doing just fine on his own. With my eyes shut, it almost felt like the good old days. Too bad you can't drift through life blindfolded.
A chorus of croaks from the wards around the house announced we had guests, and I sat up straight. A bit later, a howl echoed through the front yard and skittering claws tore.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?